Just a week and a half into July, the nation was already dubbing this natural disaster the Great Flood of 93, but the nation, especially the Midwest, hadn't seen anything yet. Most every river city had conceded the early victory to the rivers, concentrating no longer on keeping the water out of town, but on keeping damage in town to a minimum. In New Franklin, the flood situation on July 12th presented a couple of problems. Kerry Thompson with the Howard County Fire Protection District, which later lost their building altogether, said the Union Electric power transformer was a major concern.
UE was looking at their transformers and said that if they could probably hold another 3 foot before they would have to disconnect the transformers. At that point, power for New Franklin, Franklin, and the town of Roachport would all be disconnected when they shut those transformers down.
The other concern, one New Franklin shared with most other flood cities, was the water plant.
Well, we had had a dozer move in a while ago to look about building the levee around the water plant. Currently, though, the problem is the water is done up to the portion that we cannot use the dirt around the plant. So now we're going to have to get sandbags into the water plant and dike around it to keep the water out of the water plant.
Water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. That saying became a way of life for New Franklin residents July 12th when a boil order was issued for the New Franklin, Old Franklin area due to the water plant complications. That's just one of many places where that happened throughout not only north central Missouri, but throughout the Midwest. Tuesday, July 13th was a day for Mother Nature to throw gasoline on the fire once again as thunderstorms battered the area all day long. The onslaught of severe weather and heavy rains prompted another session of continuous weather coverage and good neighbor radio. About 2 hours of telephone calls turned out responses like this.
I was just in Kirksville, and I came across on 11, and I ran through two cells. The sky was so black you couldn't hardly see. I turned my lights on, and it was raining so hard I had to almost stop. It just come down in buckets.
We had an inch and a tenth since 1:30, got it in about 25 minutes. Down here in the bottom by the substation where it floods all the time, looks like there's about 18 inches of water across the blacktop here. I see a couple cars backed up, so people probably want to try to take another route.
We live on Highway 5, and W and 5 has about 2 inches of water over it right now just from the rain that we've gotten.
Hi, this is Mike Campbell Farm in Clifton Hill. We're about 5 miles south of Thomas Hill Power Plant. This past rain, we had over 2 inches in about 45 minutes.
The Tuesday gully washers almost cost a 13-year-old Columbia boy his life. Columbia firefighters say the child was playing with a friend in a creek when a sudden downpour caused the creek to quickly rise. Christopher Howe lost his balance in the current and was swept downstream. Christopher was flushed under a road through a drainage culvert and might have kept on going if it hadn't been for his leg getting tangled in a submerged tree. When Howe's friend went for help, firefighters arrived and a half hour later, the boy was freed from the tree. Christopher Howe escaped with only minor injuries to his leg. Brunswick was a busy day that Tuesday as well. Governor Carnahan was in town, and the Army Corps of Engineers was at the center of a controversy that made the national news. Mel Carnahan had a chance to view the flood damage in and around Brunswick that Tuesday. During a Cress Red Rover report live, Governor Carnahan shared what he had seen on his tour.
This represents just a number of human tragedies for every family that has to be pushed out of their home for they don't know how long. They don't know what will be there when they return. And there's, of course, problems both of what the river does to it and what they may lose in vandalism. And so that's what's so important, that all of us pull together and try to be of help.
The Missouri chief executive had a chance to visit with some Brunswick residents that day.
I talked to a teacher here who is eating in the feeding center, is pushed out of his home with his family. They don't know when they'll be able to return. I think that as graphic as the physical damage is, that's really the tragedy, and that's where we want to focus our help, particularly here in these early stages. We want to be able to help with dislocation, to be sure that people are fed, they have a place to be secure, and also that we use the guard units to provide additional security to local police and to sheriffs.
News of the governor's visit to Brunswick was a bit overshadowed by a story that reached the national broadcast of CBS News. The first sign of the levee controversy that still remains today came on July 13th. This is the story that the nation heard on CBS Radio News.
With floodwater near the top of the Brunswick-Dalton levee, the argument is more than just a splash fight for area farmers. They contend sandbagging would save nearly 25,000 acres from high water. But the Corps says no. Farmer David Link faces the possibility of losing almost all of his farmland.
It's a situation that if they'll let us sandbag, that, we can stave it off.
Deputy Engineer Roy Reed says, granted, it's a tough stance, but it's the law.
This project was designed and built in accordance with the laws, floodplain laws in 1975-76 time frame, and the requirements were that you didn't increase the 100-year flood more than 1/10 of a foot.
The conflict between landowners and the Army Corps of Engineers continues to this date. Wednesday, July 14th, saw more broken levees near Glasgow, and residents of Franklin were forced to evacuate their homes on that Wednesday.
I understand from EOC of Cooper County that the water is coming over the top of the levee at Snotty's. They are trying to sandbag the top of that. If that would break, the town of Franklin wouldn't have enough time to get out. So we're evacuating Franklin immediately, and that's by order of the Mayor Bill Shaw.
That is New Franklin City Clerk Pat Brush, who issued that announcement at the time of the evacuation. The flood situation, for the most part, was uneventful for the next couple of days, not to say that it wasn't still a serious situation, but the rains had subsided temporarily, and there were no major levee breaks. For days, there had been only one route across the Mississippi River from east to west and west to east for a stretch of 200 miles. The Bayview Bridge from West Quincy, Missouri to Quincy, Illinois was the last link between the two halves of the United States, and the levee at West Quincy was barely holding. Finally, the night of July 16th, the levee broke, and a chain reaction of disaster began. As the water stormed through the broken levee, it raced towards West Quincy with relentless power. A service station near the Bayview Bridge still had its power on, and when the raging waters reached the station, a large explosion set the town on fire. The gas and diesel fuel helped the inferno reach massive proportions, just to add to the intensity and severity of the surging water. This, the most dramatic levee break of all in Missouri, closed the final link between east and west for a 200-mile north-south span, and left a lot of questions to be answered. Questions like, what caused the levee to give way? Was all the stress just finally too much? If so, what straw broke the camel's back? There was no rain that night, and officials who'd been monitoring the West Quincy levee very closely noticed no signs of any imminent break. It wasn't until October 3rd that the culprit was discovered. Police and other authorities had suspected foul play from the beginning, and during questioning of an unrelated crime suspect, their suspicions were confirmed. Illinois police were questioning 23-year-old James Scott about a totally unrelated incident when he implicated himself in the involvement at the West Quincy levee break. The break flooded about 15,000 acres of land on the Missouri side of the Mississippi River. Scott was held on a $1 million bond on charges of causing a catastrophe. The break of the West Quincy levee still was not the last major levee incident in the area. The Missouri River was trying to cut a new channel near Glasgow. A 1,000-foot-wide levee break there was a threat to cause the Missouri River to change course in the area. The Army Corps of Engineers began dumping large rocks on the break to shore up the situation. Meanwhile, railroad workers were working to patch a 300-foot gap in the nearby levee. Glasgow Mayor Henry Himmelberg, State Representative Steve Gaw and Tom Marshall, Senator Joe Mosley, farmers and railroad officials all got together to talk about the situation there. Mayor Himmelberg told us about the top concern discussed at the meeting.
The most serious problem is the railroad dump being broken and how we can work to help those people get their business back together. It's crucial for them as well as us and for the farming area that we do have a railroad to Glasgow.
The railroad was utilizing Army helicopters to place huge boulders in the gap.
It's very hard to get a boulder 7 or 8 ton, and that's really what they need to put in this hole, simply because anything smaller than that just gets carried away faster than you get it put in. So what the, and I think this is the U.S. Army out of Fort Scott, Kansas, is furnishing helicopters, and they have large slings, and they place these large boulders in those slings and carry them over there and put them in the hole.
The good news at the time, according to Himmelberg, was a lower forecast crest of the Missouri River than had been earlier reported, which helped the patching efforts.